Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. We want to welcome all our visitors from England, from Australia, from South Africa, and from all over the world, the people that are tuning in. We want to welcome you, welcome, and thank you for listening. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the mind sciences and the Word of Faith movement. Now, I myself was in the Word of Faith movement for about 15 years, and we were very much into trying to be careful about what came out of our mouth, because we believed that our words had creative power, and that if we said the wrong things, that we could actually bring those things to pass by our words. And so there was many teachers that we paid attention to back in the day. I guess about 1981, I became acquainted with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland when I was given Gloria's book, God's Will is Prosperity. And I thought, wow, this is tremendous, because I could make my faith confessions and make sure that I was speaking the word and not letting any negative confessions come out of my mouth. And I also could give my 10% to my local storehouse. And also, I could sow seeds to other ministries. And God miraculously would get me out of debt, and he could even make me rich. So what they didn't tell us was that, now, we would see people like Kenneth Copeland, and of course Kenneth and Gloria, they always brag that they didn't have any debts, and because it was wrong to borrow money, it was wrong to owe anybody anything, and so they said that they paid off. They were so broke, they were flat broke for a long time, and Kenneth and Gloria got married, and they just didn't have anything, and they hooked up with Oral Roberts. Kenneth went to Oral Roberts University, and of course we know he's a pilot. He even has his own airport. Imagine that. He has his own airport, and so he became very wealthy. I mean, he's a billionaire, at least, I would say. But what they didn't tell us, they forgot to mention, was that most of the people that were getting rich from the Word of Faith movement were usually the people on the top, the people that were collecting tithe money, or they were telling you to give them money, sow seeds into their ministry, of course, especially if their ministry was good ground, if it was fertile soil. And then we had to sow our money into them. And then, of course, if it was a good ministry with good fruit, then we would reap a blessing for doing that. But we were always mainly concerned, I would say, and probably other people can attest to this, that we're in the Word of Faith movement, that we really did give to get. We based our giving on, well, I'm going to give this away and I'm going to get something better. So that was our mindset. And it was the mindset. And it was selfishness, really, because that's not what Jesus taught. He taught about the royal law of love and the new covenant. And as I was preparing for this program today, and I was looking at Kenneth and Gloria and Kenneth Hagin, and also I was looking at Reverend Ike and some of these mind science teachers, which you can trace this movement back to the mind sciences. What they liked to tell us when we were in the Word of Faith movement was they would tell us that the mind science teachers like Mary Baker Eddy, E.W. Kenyon was a mind science teacher. So was Kenneth Copeland. So is Kenneth Copeland, really, and Kenneth Hagin. They're mind science teachers. They teach you that you can have what you say, and it's in your mind, and you can attract, you attract money. And I'm going to even play a clip from a crazy guy called Leroy Thompson. And he's screaming, money, cometh to me. But the funny thing is, when he's screaming, money cometh to me, he's in a big auditorium full of people, and the whole auditorium just about is jumping up out of their seats, and they're dancing and they're screaming and they're throwing money on the altar for him and for the other preachers that were there. So yeah, I guess if I was standing in front of a crowd of 10,000 or 15,000 people screaming, money cometh to me, and then people were running up to the front and throwing money down. Oh, really? Well, yeah, money cometh to Leroy Thompson, because Leroy is a tithe teacher who tells you that you're cursed. They want to put you back under the Old Testament, which, of course, tithing was never money. If you can prove that to me, then I'll give you $1,000 if you can prove it to me. It's not there. It's not in the Bible. There was no such thing as monetary tithing in the Old Testament. It was food. But these so-called Bible teachers, they always want to put you back under a law that doesn't exist. Now, they call themselves scholars and they put doctor in front of their name, but they've never really studied tithing, or maybe they have and they know the truth, but they just don't want to tell you what the truth is. And of course, you're responsible for reading the Bible yourself to find out, which is what I did. And I found out, I'm reading every scripture for months. I spent 3 months years ago, and I was studying when I was coming out of Word of Faith in 1997. And I studied just about every scripture there was on tithing and seed sowing. And I found out that money wasn't seed. Money, you know, you could go outside and put a coin in the ground or put a dollar bill. Nothing's going to happen. Money is not seed. Seed is seed. Seed is seed, not money. And if I was a pastor of a church, and of course the pastor always lives better than anybody else for the most part in the church. He's got the best car, and you have to call him pastor. You can't call him by his first name. You have to call him doctor or reverend. And then you have to call the wife first lady. And then you have the first children. And meanwhile, the people in the congregation, they're like little lost sheep sitting there for the most part, just waiting for their little piece of the pie to come along. But I found out that it was a pyramid scheme. It was multi-level marketing in the church, because usually the pastor was the person that was reaping the benefits of the tithes and the offerings. And then he was claiming that he was a man of faith. They claimed that the pastors that I knew in Word of Faith and the ministers that I knew, they always claimed that, look how blessed I am, look how successful I am, and I got it by faith. But no, they don't get it by faith. Even a person like Kenneth Copeland, he made his money through teaching other people how to make money, how to get money. And you see most of these people that have success seminars, and come on over to my success seminar and pay me $5,000 or $25,000, and I'll tell you the secrets of the universe, how to get money, how to make money, how to be have the law of attraction and to attract money to you. I can tell you how to attract money to you. You have to go to work. You'll attract plenty of money. You'll have plenty of money if you get a job. And a good job, and you go to work every day. Every day you save your money. You don't buy things you can't afford. You don't go into debt. You'll attract plenty of money. There's no two ways around it. There's no get rich quick schemes. There's no give money to God, get money back. God says in Romans, and I'll get that scripture for you. If you look up the word recompense, God says he doesn't have to pay you back. He said it. So I think if God said that, I don't care what the prosperity teachers are saying, because it's not true. But people like Kenneth Copeland, he made millions, multiple millions of dollars teaching people the laws of prosperity. And look, you can be rich like me. And even in one of the audios that I was listening to today, and Gloria says, we haven't been in debt for 47 years. Okay, but then in a previous audio that I listened to, they said they had $1 million debt. And I remember this because they had this worldwide communion service sometime in 1980, around the late 80s or the mid 80s, something like that. And it kind of flopped on them, so they wound up owing quite a bit of money. And of course, he always bragged that he didn't have any debts. He never went into debt, but he was $1 million in debt, maybe more. But that, anyway, that's what Gloria says on this audio. And so they're $1 million in debt, and they have to. So what does Kenneth do? Now, this is the way he gets out of debt. And I think I have that audio. I'll play it for you in a little bit. But Kenneth has one of his believers conventions or whatever. He's having some kind of a service. And he decides that he's got to pay this $1 million. So he says that the Lord told me that the whole offering for tonight or for this convention, we're to give it away to a ministry. Now, wait a minute. That totally goes against what Jesus told us to do. First of all, if we owe somebody money, like the mortgage, the landlord, look, the landlord's not your banker. I don't know why people think that they're allowed to borrow money from their landlord and they don't pay their rent on time. The landlord's not the banker. He has to have his money too. But this is Kenneth's thinking, is that he's not going to pay his debt. He's not going to pay those television stations that he owes money to. He's going to give the money. He's going to sow to get out of debt. No, we don't sow to get out of debt. We pay our bills to get out of debt. We don't rob from people to give to other people so we can get something. You know, it's ridiculous. It's not scripture. It goes against, it flies in the face of what Jesus told us to do, to have integrity. We're supposed to have integrity, not sow money into ministries and then we don't pay our bills. It's just ridiculous. And anyway, she's saying that they gave this offering to this ministry. And, oh, wow, the windows of heaven just opened up and they were able to pay off their $1 million. Well, it doesn't work that way. There is no spiritual, and they tell you, and even the people in the mind sciences tell you that there are laws of prosperity and you have to follow God's laws. Otherwise, you're going to be cursed. The law that I see that Jesus told us about is called the royal law of love. That's the New Testament is the royal law of love. And Jesus also said that we're supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. So how would you like it? And nobody likes it, right? Nobody likes it when somebody only gives you something because they want something back. Who likes that? Nobody. Do you think God likes that? Do you think that other people like that? No. Jesus said, Mark 12:31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Yet the prosperity teachers will not tell you that. They don't tell you that. They tell you that you're bound by spiritual laws. And unless you follow these laws and these principles, you cannot have wealth. You'll have curses and debts for the rest of your life. But the New Testament is based on love. It's not based, that's the only law it's based on, is the royal law of love. That's the New Testament. Because the Bible says in John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Matthew 22, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law hang on those two commandments. Forget spiritual laws of prosperity. They don't exist except for this. And if we don't do things out of love, then forget it. It's like Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, isn't it? 13 says that if we don't have love, charity one toward another, you're like a bunch of noise going somewhere to happen. Let me read that to you. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So that is the New Testament. we have a new covenant. That's what the New Testament is. It's a new covenant, and it's based on love. It's on you do this, and God does that. As far as you give the pastor money, you get money. You give your friends money, you get money. It's not based on that. It's based on the new covenant, which was provided through us, the New Testament, which is a will. Basically, we have an Old Testament, and you notice when people have wills, they call it the last will and testament. So this is a New Testament that's been given unto us, and it's based on love. It's based on love. It's based on the selfless gift of our Lord Jesus Christ when he laid down his life. And so we lay down our lives for the brethren. We follow the royal law, James 2:8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. That's what the new covenant, the New Testament is based on. That's the spiritual laws of prosperity. So whatever they tell you, for the most part, it's not true. You know, they throw a little bit of scripture in there, and they have a little bit of truth mixed into their teachings, but they're always putting you back into bondage of tithing, seed sowing. There's always something you have to work to, you have to give to get. You have to be selfish. You have to be selfish. They teach you, you have to be selfish. Do it for you. Do it for you so you get something. Well, that's not Christianity. And we're celebrating the 500-year anniversary this year of the Reformation. And that's what we're trying to do with our program. And Jackie Alnor on Rapture Ready Radio, our brother, the Wolf Tracker, who has Reformation News and Daily Manna from Heaven on Blog Talk Radio. There's many more people out there who realize that we need a reformation in the church, because the way the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being presented today, it's not the New Testament church. And that's what we want to see. We want to see the New Testament church, where if you attend church on Sunday, you go, you don't have to be afraid that you have to leave your checkbook at home. Or don't bring your checkbook to some of these churches. Don't bring your checkbook, because they'll clean out your bank account before you leave. They'll make sure they clean out your bank account. And then as you're hobbling out the door in the state of shock, they'll be patting you on the back and say, "Don't worry, don't worry. You gave me all your money, but you'll get it back." Chances are you probably won't. You probably won't. You probably won't get it back. And you'll be in the same mess that you were in when you came in the door. So if your pastor's not telling you that the spiritual laws and the keys to the kingdom of prosperity, if he's not telling you that it's getting a good job, bettering yourself with your education, don't buy things you can't afford. Don't buy things on credit if you can't afford it. Pay your debts. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't covet what your neighbors have. If he's not telling you that, then you're in the wrong place. If you're going somewhere and they call it church and they're telling you that all the answers to your problems lie in coming here on Sunday and paying your tithes and offerings, well, you're in the wrong place. You're really in the wrong place. Nobody should ever put pressure on you to give. That's something between you and the Lord. God is perfectly able. I don't have to tell you that God told me to tell you to give me some money. Whoever does that, they're lying. They're lying. Because in the first place, I don't have to tell you. Who am I to tell you? But most of these people, that's what they do. They tell you that the Lord told me that you're supposed to give me some money. And when you give me this money, you're going to be blessed. Oh, all your debts are going to be canceled and you're going to have jubilee. And none of that is true. First of all, God can speak to you. He doesn't need me to speak to you as far as your giving or anybody else to speak to you. You can hear from God just as good as I can hear from God. If I can hear from God about what to do, who to give to, you can hear from God. You don't need Paula White to tell you or Kenneth Copeland to tell you or Creflo Dollar to tell you or Rod Parsley to tell you or Marcus and Joni Lamb or Steve Muncy or all the rest of the con artists out there. But all they're so greedy for gain that they don't even care if they die and go you know where. They don't even care. They have no fear of God. They'll tell you, they'll look you square in the eye and tell you, God told me you're supposed to give me $20,000. Well, God didn't tell them anything like that because, first of all, God doesn't even talk like that. He would tell you. But if you go to a church service or you're watching television and some preacher is telling you, the Lord is speaking to me right now, that you're supposed to go to the phone. No, that's not God. No, because God, you should be able to hear God in your house, when you're out in your car. You should be able to hear God for yourself in the area of giving. Nobody else should tell you what to give, where to give. No, that's between you and God. Giving is free will. It's free will. It's of your free will. And the Bible also, Jesus also talked about extortion. That's what these people are practicing, extortion. We don't need anybody to extort money from us. We can make up our own minds. And when anybody's putting pressure on you to give, then you know you're in the wrong place. And it's wrong. And you won't get out of your mess like that. You won't. The way you'll get out of your mess, and it's the only way I've ever seen, is with my family. They worked hard all their lives. From the time they were young, they worked every day. From the time they were teenagers, every day. Every day. They went to work. They raised their families. We never had babysitters or daycare when my father worked days and my mother worked nights. So we went to sleep. We didn't even know she was gone. And that's how it was. Mom and Dad took care of their responsibilities. They didn't put their responsibilities on the government or anybody else. They never thought anybody owed them anything. And they weren't even really Christians. So how much more should we, people that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have our Bibles and we're born again, how much more should that be the way we live? The Bible says to seek first the kingdom, to take no thought for tomorrow. Try not to worry and fret. God is our Father. He loves us and He will provide for us. But we have to do the right thing in this life. And anyway, I'm going to play some of these clips because I want you to hear, and some of this stuff, you'll hear that a lot of my listeners probably have been associated with people like Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. Maybe even some of you have attended ORU, or you've been affiliated with some Word of Faith ministries. But a lot of these mind sciences, and I do mention it in my book. I'll let you. There's another very, very good book, and it's a book that helped me very much when I was coming out of the Word of Faith teachings. And it's a book by D.R. McConnell, M.C., capital C-O-N-N-E-L, I believe, A Different Gospel. And it's available on the internet. That is an excellent book. This man, I think he was on the board, or he was at ORU. I think he had some kind of a position there. And he started studying this, the word, comparing the Word of Faith movement to Christian Science. And what he discovered, you can't come away from after reading this book and you're thoroughly convinced, because he presents the evidence. And I checked out all, when I read a book, I check out the footnotes. I want to know where he got his information from. And that's basically what I did with this book, is I tore it apart. I looked at just about every footnote. I even took some of these books out of the library that he mentioned in his footnotes, just to prove his case, basically. But he did an excellent job exposing the Word of Faith movement for what it was, that it was basically, it came out of Christian Science. It came out of New Thought. And if you look, even if you go to Wikipedia and you see one of the teachers that they used to like to promote a lot, and they still do, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, promoted E.W. Kenyon. And now they called him the father, basically, of the positive confession, Word of Faith movement. But it was influenced by the New Thought movement. And he also attended this school called the Emerson School. And the Emerson School was a New Thought school, a mind science school. And so basically you can trace back, and if you get this book, A Different Gospel by McConnell, you'll see you can trace back the history, and you can do the research yourself and see that they took a lot of this teaching from Christian Science. The positive confession, that you confess it, you say it, and it's like the law of attraction, which is an occult thing. Then you can attract riches by your words. All of this comes from the mind sciences, and it doesn't come from the Bible. But of course, Word of Faith people don't want to tell you that. They tell you that the mind science is copied from the Bible. But I don't think even you can find a lot of these teachings before the 18th century. I don't think you can find much on seed sowing, tithing, the tithing doctrines that they teach today, or the seed sowing doctrines, or the positive confession movement. I don't think that. And if somebody has that information, I'd love to have it. But I don't think that before the 18th century, these teachings even existed, as far as what was taught in churches about giving. I think these things came later. It's kind of connected to our whole 21st century way of thinking about money. And you know, we're the entitlement generation. We're the entitlement generation. We were born, and we were born in this country, and we're entitled. Rich people, they need to pay more taxes so we can get more entitlements. Well, look, earn your own money, and then you don't have to worry about anybody else's. You know, that's what coveting is. That's called coveting thy neighbor's goods, is when we think, well, they have enough money, so why don't they give some to me? It's none of my business how much money you have. It's none of your business how much money I have or and it's none of my business how much money you have, because you earned it. If you have it, you earned it. And I don't have a money tree in my backyard. I don't know anybody that has a money tree in their backyard. Anybody I know that has any kind of money, they earned it. Rich people who inherited money, somebody had to earn it somewhere down the road. They worked for it. So it didn't just go out in the backyard and pick it off the tree. Anyway, I'm going to play this clip. This is from my mind science teacher from the internet. So just listen to this.
Success depends entirely upon how well they can understand the mechanics of the universal law. And I should add to that by saying that manifesting money is a spiritual science that can be explained and used by anyone. The spiritual laws that govern the manifestation of money, or anything you want to manifest, are as powerful and workable as the laws that govern physics, math, and the other sciences. Like many people, I first learned about prosperity during a time in my life when I was in a financial bind. I was desperate for cash, so I dedicated myself to prosperity thinking, and in time I learned how to make it work for me. Eventually, I won $50,000 in my state lottery. I started my own successful business with almost no cash at all. And now I have more than enough money to travel and to spend time doing what makes me happy. Along with my lottery win, I have won more money, theater tickets, online contests, trips, and many other prizes. As time passed, I paid close attention to the manifestation process, and soon I was writing magazine articles about prosperity and teaching people like you how to attract money. This audio program is a result of many years of study, and it covers many points such as the law of attraction, affirmations, the practice of receiving, and other powerful ideas. I would suggest that you listen to this program over and over again, paying particular attention to my suggestions. They say that repetition is the mother of learning, and I honestly doubt that anyone can absorb all this information in one sitting. So as you listen to my program, be sure to take notes for future reference, and always keep this program handy for review. Many people have used these prosperity methods to pay off bills, win money, make more sales at work, or to prosper on some level in life.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You probably hear that on so-called Christian television. Or you might even hear it at your church service on Sunday. That's a mind scientist. Pay careful attention to my suggestions. Yeah, well, the power of suggestion. They're loaded with the powers of suggestion, these people. The hypnotists like Paula White, Morris Cirillo, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley. They're loaded with this kind of power of suggestion. They suggest to you that you give $1,000. I'm going to, and some of them even say it, and I'm going to suggest to you. They don't even hide the fact that they're hypnotists. And they do a lot of finger snapping and all that. And then you notice that this guy talks about making affirmations. Well, those are your faith confessions. Please, we used to stand around screaming faith confessions and raising our fists in the air and screaming our faith confessions and putting those words out into the atmosphere. Oh, dear. Please. Thank God the Lord delivered me from all that. I've been out of that mess for 20 years, and I'm telling you, I am so glad to be free, because another thing is that the prosperity preachers, they always tell you, they write a lot about the spirit of fear, okay? And they say fear is a spirit, and God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but they were always putting fear on us. I mean, we were afraid of everything. The devil was everywhere. The devil was making us do everything. The devil was making everybody else do everything. And if we didn't give our money and if we didn't hear God about our seed sowing and about our offerings and whatever, we were going to be cursed. We were afraid of everything. But yet we were people of faith. But it was so messed up. It was so messed up. And I noticed that. And you can do the same thing. You know, if you're in one of these Word of Faith churches, take a survey at church. Take a survey at church and have the people raise their hand. Ask them, I want to know now, out of all the people in here that have been tithing and seed sowing, how many of you are out of debt? If you get five hands, I will be very surprised. I would be very surprised. And most of those people have been tithing for years and they've been seed sowing for years, but they're still in debt. They're still in debt. So I guess it's not working, right? I guess it's not working. So even Oral Roberts died in debt. Oral Roberts, the great seed faith purveyor of all time, right? And he was always telling you to sow seeds. But yet, his university was $50 million in debt. $50 million in debt after Richard took it over. They had to sell it. They had to sell it. And they basically ran Richard out of Tulsa. He lives in Florida now. I mean, you know, his father left him that supposedly left him in charge of the university. He was the president of the university. And the big seed sowing proponent, they were $50 million in debt. It didn't work for Oral and Richard Roberts. It didn't work. They ran him out of Tulsa and they sold the university to the Green family, who owns Hobby Lobby, the billionaire family. They own it. They got it out of debt somehow. And now they have a television network called Golden Eagle Broadcasting, GEB network. You might see it on your satellite. And they have all the pimps on there. You mean to tell me that the university that still bears Oral Roberts' name, which probably eventually they'll take his name off the university. And after seed sowing didn't work for Oral Roberts, the people that are running the university now and have this television network invite all the pimps over there to scam the students. Imagine scamming college students out of their money with this seed sowing nonsense that didn't even work for the person that the university is named after. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. But that's greed for you. You know, it's like the Green family doesn't have enough money. They don't have enough money. You can see it if you ever watch this network. They have live broadcasts from the Mabee Center there with the students from ORU. You can see all the pimps preaching there, telling the college students to sow their seeds. You do that to college students? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with these people? Please. That's what I mean. They don't have enough. This Green family, they're billionaires, supposedly. Who knows, though? They're supposedly billionaires. And they have to run scams on college students? Oh, awful. Just awful. Anyway, let's play. I'm going to play a few of these audio clips that I have here. Let's play. I want you to hear Ike again. Well, this guy was spooky, really, this Reverend Ike. But when you hear Reverend Ike talk, he had an organization, a mind science organization, and he talks a lot like Hagen and Copeland, and he talks a lot like these people. So you'll see that. he was using the mind sciences, and so are the people in the Word of Faith movement.
Yeah, some people are concerned, like with religious television, that many people send money into television preachers that they see on television and wonder, what should they be sending that money rather to their local churches? So does it matter where you send your money when giving comes, well, when it comes back to you?
It does, but let me say that the level of giving in their local churches with the people that I've dealt with has increased.
Really?
Always has, because those people became more prosperous.
Hmm. So they would give to you, and then they would increase
the amount
that
they
would give.
They would have more to give to their local churches.
Has it ever not worked for somebody?
It does not work if you work it. My sister, the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, founder of Christ Universal Temple, that you ought to interview, has this thing that I love to quote. It works if you work it.
Hmm.
In other words, this is science. This is a principle. You see, the white people taught us, first of all, and I read their books like Napoleon Hill. What's the number of that? Think and grow rich. You
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
That was way, way back.
Yep.
Think and grow rich. Clement Stone, The Laws of Success. Deepak Chopra, The Spiritual Laws of Success, and so on. One thing I liked about the white people is that they made a science out of everything.
Hmm.
You see, and I noticed that. With the black people in their religion, you pray. And you weren't even sure God was going to answer your prayer.
Hmm.
I found out, and I've rebuked them for this in my sermons. I said, don't pray one thing and believe another. And a lot of people were doing that, thinking one thing and believing another.
Hmm.
The saddest question that I ever have heard in my ministry every now and then, why didn't the Lord answer my prayer? I says, well, you praying one thing and thinking another, it ain't going to work. It works if you work it.
Hmm.
Hmm. Like the lady said to me in Los Angeles, oh, Reverend Ike, please pray for me. I got bad luck. I says, okay, I'm praying for you. And Lord bless you. I sure hope so. I felt like cussing.
But I'm really interested. Is it just the science of living that works if I think right, if I give right, and the money comes back to me? Or is there some kind of political advocacy work that blacks should be doing at the same time?
All of the above.
Okay.
You see, all of this works together. A giving person is just generous. Again, another verse of scripture. The generous soul shall be made rich.
Right. And the reason I ask is because there are books about this. For example, one of the scholars and sociologists, William Julius Wilson, and he talks about one of his books is The Declining Significance of Race, and another book is The Truly Disadvantaged, and it talks about how industries have moved out of certain urban areas and then south and then overseas, and how those particular communities are crippled by the decline in industry in those areas. And so much of that has to do with government policy and politics and decisions that are made about where industries are going to go. So some of those things influence people's purses as well as thinking and giving.
I believe, however, my dear, that if you are in a dungeon and you change your mindset, it will make a difference and you will have deliverance.
Hmm.
It will lead you across a bridge of incident. For example, when I have talked to the inmates in the largest prison in the United States, Rikers Island in New York, my topic was always, you have the power to change your life. And the question was, Reverend Ike, here we are behind bars.
Right.
Where is my power?
Right.
In your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind.
You know, and the funny part with Ike is he didn't even believe in God. He thought he was God. And he told other people that they were God. But yet he uses scripture. He tries to bring everything about around with scripture. So he lures people in with the mind sciences. And he even uses scripture, which that's what most of the false teachers do, is they'll quote some scripture to you, usually out of context, and to try to get you to give them some money. And notice he says that too. He says, well, everybody that gives me money, oh, they get even more money. And then they go back to their churches and they're even better givers because they gave the money to me. Oh, dear. What a con artist, honest. But he had a lot of followers, I must say. And he was living large. But let's look at a few scriptures about working. Let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any not work, neither should they eat. That's what it says. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, which is you won't have anything. If all you do is talk, in all labor, there is profit. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful or lazy basically shall be under tribute. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, that's God's word. That's God's word. If your pastor is not teaching you that, then you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. And so some of what the young lady was saying was true, of course, in many of the metropolitan areas today. A lot of the industry has left that area, so it could be difficult to find a job. I guess even hard for people to relocate if they have to go to places where there are jobs. But you can make a job if you have to until you can get the job that you want. But that's where God can give you ideas. There's ways to make money. Even you can work at home doing things now if you have a computer and a telephone. There's things you can do. And you don't really have to have a skill. You don't even necessarily have to have an experience, but there's things that you can find to do to get yourself over the hump. And of course, God is always there to help us and to rescue us if our heart is right with Him. So, I mean, that's God's word. And if we follow what the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow the word of God, we can't go wrong at all. Anyway, let's hear a few more. This was a shocking statement by Ike. Listen to this.
And Prophet Jones, Father Divine, and Daddy Grace out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took a lot of conscious effort.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the strategies? No, first of all, how were they trying to do that? And then what were some of the methods that you used to resist this?
Well, there were those people who thought that perhaps I was more divine than the ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I developed my theology which flew in the face of convention again. God is in you. And so I insisted to those people, there's no more God in me than in you. There's no more God, and this was blasphemy. There's no more God in Jesus than there is in you. And in fact, it was not Jesus's purpose to show us that he was God's only child and that the rest of us were bastards. Oh, how did that fly in the face of convention? You see how I earned my spot as a heretic. And that's how I kept that down. I would not allow anybody to think that I was more divine. Now, that's where we get into another bit of my teaching, consciousness. There are people who are more conscious of their divinity than others. And this is really what I try to do in my ministry, make people conscious of their divinity. And when you become conscious of your divinity, then you begin to express it.
Now, you notice that Reverend Ike, so-called, had this teaching about, you know, the little God theory, which was taught, and it's probably still taught in Word of Faith circles, that you're a little God. And Paul Crouch taught this. I know that Kenneth Copeland taught, I am God. I think I heard him say that once, too. They believe also, Kenneth Hagin, in some of the audio that I was listening to, I remember actually him teaching this, that we have the God kind of faith. We have the same faith that God had. And God needed faith to create the universe. God needed faith. He says that God spoke the words of faith and he created the universe. God needed faith to create the universe. What? I mean, just insane stuff, really, just insane. And so he's basically, what Hagin's basically telling you is that you can create, because you can have the God kind of faith, you can have God's faith, and you can create with your words, just like God created the earth with his words, he says. And you notice that Ike talks about even Jesus didn't have any more God in him. And then he says, what blasphemy? Well, he wasn't lying about that, because Jesus never laid down his divinity. He came in the fashion of a man, Philippians says. If you read it in the King James, he came in the fashion. In other words, he looked like a man, but he really wasn't a man. He didn't never lay down his divinity. He always was God. He never laid that down. This concept of trying to put Jesus on our level of, he was a 100% God and 100% man. Well, no, he was God. He was God. He never laid that down. He wasn't just like us. No, Jesus is not just like us. No, because he's without sin. He can't be tempted to sin. Jesus can't be tempted to sin. He even told Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. You can't tempt the Lord your God. You can't tempt God to sin. It's ridiculous. And you hear people like Paula White, and she's got this video, and you can see it on the internet. She's got this video with Larry Huck, H-U-C-H, another heretic. And they're saying that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. We're the only begotten, we're the sons of God. And she basically goes into this whole thing like Reverend Ike was just saying. Basically say the same teaching. Now, this got Paula into a lot of hot water before the inauguration. Someone named Eric Erickson came out with an excellent article about her being a Trinity denier, which she is. She's a heretic and a liar, because then she came out and she said that they didn't really mean that, and that people, Paula's such a moron that she says that instead of they spliced the video together. They were splicing the audio. She says they sliced it. They sliced the audio together. I heard her on Fox. It was a Fox News interview that she gave with, what's that guy's name? Brian Kilmeade, another dummy. And she goes on the air with Brian Kilmeade, and she says that, no, they sliced it in. They showed me shaking my head in agreement when Larry Huck said Jesus wasn't the only begotten son, but they sliced it in. I wasn't really shaking my head in agreement. Well, you sure could have fooled me, because the video is not edited. The video wasn't edited. And they were saying it, that Jesus wasn't the only begotten son of God. They said it. And she said, I never said that. They sliced it in. And Brian Kilmeade says, oh, Paula, I believe you. I believe you. Oh. And then that dummy Jerry Falwell Jr. says, yeah, they called Paula a Trinity denier. But you notice at the inauguration, she prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you think she's going to do? What do you think she's going to do? All she had to do was do that, and then people like you and the other people were saying, yeah, look, she's not a Trinity denier. Well, Paula doesn't believe in God. She's not saved. She's not saved. No, saved people don't act like her. No, they don't act like saved people don't con people out of their money. We don't have seed phase scams. We don't have tithing scams. We have none of that. Born again, saved people filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't have to resort to those tactics to have ministries. Anybody can have a ministry. All you need is, a mouth. That's all you need to have a ministry. Is open your mouth. That's all you need. So they're no great one. They're no great ones going somewhere to happen. All right, here's Leroy. Leroy Thompson, the famous Leroy Thompson. Money cometh to me.
Time for us to tell that money, you don't belong to the wicked, you belong to us, and I want you to get in the right place. Money, money, to me, now. Somebody help me dance, glory to God.
Tonight, my money is coming to me. Tonight,
deny being broke. I'll never be broke another day.
Screaming. You think people were getting saved or something, right? They don't scream like that when people get saved. No, only when I'm going to get some money. This is my night. And they're all running up there. They're dropping money on the altar. Of course, he's getting excited because he's looking at all those envelopes up there. And he noticed the diabolical laugh on this guy. Oh, please. These people are despicable. Where do these people come from? In real life, what kind of a job could they have? They found out that this is a lucrative profession, is putting the name pastor in front of your first name and going and opening up a church and collecting 10% from 100 people or 1,000 people or 5,000 people. They realize that they don't have any other skill except being a con artist. That's their skill. Help us. Help us, Lord. Anyway, here's Gloria Copeland teaching on money.
24, it says this. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but it comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He will refresh others. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Amen.
But people curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf.
Praise God.
So
the Bible is full of prosperity.
It is.
It's blessing.
It is.
Blessing is prosperity.
So to walk in poverty, though, just stop giving.
Yeah.
Stop tithing. Quit tithing. Quit giving.
Don't go to church because you might hear something.
One translation of this scripture said, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but that comes to poverty.
Mm-hmm. More than you should hold.
Holding back.
Being stingy.
Yeah. And that's holding back on the tithe.
Yeah.
Holding back on giving, sowing,
helping
other people. The Message translation of that verse 24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller.
Wow. You read this, I think, but this is an awesome scripture. It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But those who give freely become wealthy.
Yes.
But those who are stingy will lose everything.
They'll lose everything.
I
didn't read
givers.
That one.
We have to be givers. We have to be givers. We have to keep that flow going.
Yes. And I've learned about giving. I've learned about giving from you and Kenneth.
I've learned about it from Kenneth.
Well,
he's an awesome giver, I'm telling you.
On this CD series that you preach that we're offering, you talk about that, and you talk
I
about
do.
This. You said, Kenneth...
This has been quite a few years ago. I don't remember
this was 1996. Oh, it's powerful.
And what did I say?
Well, you were talking about Kenneth and how you learned how to give from him and how he just takes your breath away.
Yes. And make his announcement. We're going to do so and so.
You said this, though. This was interesting. And in this series, you said that Kenneth, you felt like he would rather give than do anything else.
I think that's true.
He would rather give than preach. he'd rather give than fly if it came down to it?
I think he'd rather give than receive.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is. It is so in his heart.
It is.
But then he's responsible for that message, so...
And that's why this ministry is prospering.
Yes,
that's why we are prospering. That's why our partners are prospering.
That's right.
Because we are giving. Because we are tithing. And I shared this last week, but it bears repeating again. And I just want to say it because at the end of 2011, Kenneth Copeland Ministries surpassed the $200 million mark
in giving. Our seed.
$200 million seed. That was just from 1984 when Kenneth went to Arkansas to seek the Lord about the $1 million deficit, and the Lord said, give 10%. He came back in 1984. It was January of 1984. As we all remember, he went up there every year.
Yeah.
In January.
Yeah.
And he came back that year and announced to us that we're giving 10% off the top.
And weren't we behind on our TV bills?
About $1 million.
But didn't we get those bills paid?
Oh, amen. Gloria, I can remember.
Oh, George.
I can remember a convention.
Did it take your breath away, George?
Well, you know, over the years, you just learned to trust him.
Yeah, but that was in the early.
But that was. And I remember at a convention one time, and this is when I was.
There. Notice that. They were $1 million behind on their TV bills in 1984. And she said, and the Kenneth says, we're going to give 10% off the top. Well, okay. They were big preachers on tithing, okay? But they weren't even tithing themselves. So in 1984, he decides we're going to give 10% off the top of our ministry to get out of debt. No, you're not supposed to give 10% off the top of your ministry to get out of debt and not pay your creditors. You're supposed to pay your creditors first. That's what you're supposed to do, not give money to somebody else. What kind of Christianity is that? That's not Christian. And these are supposed to be learned Bible teachers? It's ridiculous. And notice they tell you, oh, yeah, you have to tithe. Otherwise, if you don't tithe, you're not going to be blessed. Well, they never read, like I said before, either they read the tithing scriptures and they don't want to tell you what the truth is about tithing, or they never really read them. Because there's nothing in the Old Testament where people ever brought money to the temples for tithes. They brought food to the storehouse, which was the place where they stored the food. That's what the storehouse was. It's not the local church. It's okay for a pastor to take up an offering for his ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. They take up an offering on Sunday and they tell you the truth that we're taking up this offering to pay the salaries, to pay the mortgage, to pay the light bill. Just tell the truth. That's all. So take up your offering. Tell people the truth. Just tell, give from your heart freely. Whatever you want, whatever you choose to give. If you want to give, that's fine. We're not going to pass any bucket around and intimidate you. If you want to give, you know, do it whatever way you want to do it. We're not going to make you come to the front and wave your thing up in the air. Oh, waving money at God like, what, is God supposed to be impressed with somebody waving checks at him? It's just ridiculous. Just tell people the truth. Just tell them. Say, we've got bills to pay. If you like to help, that's fine. If you don't want to help, that's fine too. So, oh, but you see, Kenneth and her son-in-law there, stepson-in-law or whatever he is, Pearson, George Pearson, and we learned from you, Gloria, you and Ken. And she says, well, Ken, or he said, Ken would rather give than preach. Well, no, because if Ken doesn't preach, he doesn't get any money. No, if Kenneth Copeland was just like an average person walking around, just giving things away, and he never preached on television, and he never wrote books, and he never had conventions, nobody's really going to give him any money. I don't care what he says. You know, people are just not going to walk up to him and just start handing him money. They give Kenneth and Gloria Copeland money because they're on top of the pyramid scheme. They're on top of the multi-level marketing scheme. So people figure that I'll give to this prosperous ministry, and because I'm sowing into good ground, I'll get money back. But if Kenneth and Gloria were just average Joes walking down the street handing out money, nobody's going to be handing them millions of dollars, like $200 million that we sowed. Yeah, well, fine, okay? Fine. That's nice that you gave $200 million away. But you didn't get it by teaching the truth of the gospel. So who cares, you know? If you can't earn an honest living and tell people the truth about what the Bible says, then you don't deserve to have any kind of a public ministry. You just need to go away. Just go away and leave people alone. Leave them alone. Tell them the truth about Jesus and quit lying on God and quit lying on Jesus and just go away. If you can't repent and get saved and tell people the truth, then you don't deserve to be teaching the Bible. Just don't do it. Don't take scriptures and twist them for your own advantage and for your own gain. And then say, look at me, like Ken and Gloria. Oh, look at us. Look at all we have. We're so rich. And we did it by doing this. You know, we always tithed and we always sowed seed. And this is how we got rich. Well, that's not how they got rich. That's not how they got rich. They got rich by being prosperity teachers. That's how they got, by selling books and tapes on prosperity. That's how they got rich. They didn't get rich by tithing and seed sowing. Here's more of Gloria.
You were living below the poverty
line.
Well,
I would say that was way below, yeah.
Wow.
And so I said, Lord, take my life. That day I said, take my life and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the formula. I didn't know how to be born again. But I thought, man, I want this.
He took you from poverty to prosperity.
He did. And
took you from the curse to the blessing.
I'm still increasing.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Let me read a couple of other scriptures in this particular one about don't work.
You know, let me just say something.
Go right ahead.
You know, there's some people that it really irks them when they see preachers prosper or they see the pastor's got a new house or something like that. Listen, you do not want to go to church and listen to somebody that doesn't know how to be blessed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to find out how to be blessed from somebody that doesn't know how to be blessed. I don't think I'd want to go where the pastor was living in a log cabin and no electricity. And
right, that's right.
Having to get by on the fire in the fireplace. I'd think he just doesn't know much about the Bible.
Well, our esteemed friend Leroy Thompson.
Yeah, Leroy. Good old Leroy.
Once said, like pastor, like pew.
That's right. That's right.
Like pastor, like pew.
That's right. So I want to know.
Whatever way he goes, you'll go too.
That's him. Is that a poem?
No, that's what Leroy said.
Oh, that's Leroy's
yeah,
poem.
Like pastor, like pew, whatever way he goes, so will you.
That's good. That's the truth.
So we don't want to go that way.
No, I like a pastor that preaches the word to me.
So we're not lazy.
Tells me the truth.
We're not lazy.
No.
We're not. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you in this one, Gloria. One that I don't even have it down there because I got it a few minutes ago.
Oh, I wouldn't want to go to a church where the pastor was living in a log cabin and he had to use his fireplace for heat. Oh, I wouldn't want to go to a church where the pastor didn't know how to be blessed. Well, who doesn't want to be blessed? Give me a break. Who doesn't want God to bless them? We all want God to bless us. Dear Lord, Gloria. Please, get a life, will you please? Oh, And some people, they just get upset when the pastor has a new house. I don't care if the pastor gets a new house, as long as he didn't get it off tithe money. What do I care what kind of a house he lives in? I didn't have to collect tithe money to get a house. That's not faith. That's not faith. That the pastor's standing up there every Sunday and telling you better give your 10% or get cursed, and you better give it to me and get cursed, and then he goes out and buys a mansion? No, Gloria, no, I don't want to be in that kind of church where they're not teaching the word, because that's not the word, and you don't know the word either. I don't know. It's like the blind leading the blind over there. Anyway, I'm going to play one more clip from Gloria.
God,
over your ministry.
Get rid of that.
Right now, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Gloria, we just got a couple of moments left. Go to your second page there. I want you to see this word from the Lord. And again, there's lots of scriptures that we wrote down, lots of information. You get these online and read them and study them out. You'll find out some scriptures about how he provides the finances and how he removes the debt and how he moves upon others to be able to pay that debt for you. And so, but I want to read this word from the Lord because of our time. This was at the West Coast Believers Convention, July the 9th of 2007. The manifestation of the blessing is at an all-time high.
Hallelujah.
You are approaching a blessing manifestation of glory that is an explosion in ways and intensity that the human race has never seen. The blessing will surround you. The blessing will encase you. You will learn to walk in the secret place of the Most High God, blessed in His blessing, blessed in His glory, blessed in your comings, blessed in your goings, and blessed in your pocketbook.
All debt
will have to get up and leave you the way leprosy left the lepers of old.
What a word.
Debt is financial sickness. It is financial leprosy. It is an attempt to do with the world's, natural world's monies and abilities what I created the blessing to do for you. Only it is a burden and not a blessing. Debt is part of the curse.
Yes, it is. It is.
If you will begin to confess the word, you'll be shocked and thrilled at how quickly you'll have the glory arise and drive debt out of your life. If you'll bring me your tithe, and see here, Gloria, once again, tithing comes into the picture.
Yeah.
Tithing
is
part.
You got to get God involved in your business.
It's part of the circle of supernatural provision.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll bring your tithe to me and spend time, I will show you how to be debt free. I will bless you beyond your means. I will bless you beyond your income. I will bless you beyond your salaries. I will bless you beyond anything that you've ever known before. I will show you things that you've never heard of before. You will take advantage of those things and be financially blessed. I will bring such a financial blessing upon you that you won't have any idea where it came from. It'll come to an explosive place. I am ready, saith the Lord, if you'll begin to confess it, walk in it, make it a priority in your life, then the glory will manifest in your midst and you'll give me praise. I will come and visit you, and together we will have a grand time. So leprosy, it is a spiritual leprosy that'll get up and leave your presence.
That's right. Let me say something here, George.
Please.
The things George and I are talking about, really always, whether it's healing or whatever, we're assuming that you're acting on the word. Believing the word, saying the word, acting on it.
Yes.
When we say you can live debt free and so on, you can't do it on your own strength.
Right.
But if you take the word, put it in your eyes and your ears, put it down in your heart, bring it out your mouth, and have the patience to bring it forth,
that's it.
It'll come to pass.
That's it.
It'll come to pass. But you can't just say, okay, I believe I'm going to be debt.
Oh, really? I mean, didn't we really just hear that from the mind science teacher? The positive affirmations, the laws of attraction. All you have to do is quote the word, and you're gonna get out of debt, and you're gonna bring money to yourself. It just doesn't work that way. There, you know, that's a so-called prophecy that Kenneth Copeland gave at one of his conventions, and he speak it, and it goes in a circle. They're saying it goes in a circle, and you have to remember to tithe. You see, the Lord through that prophecy, he said, "Oh, you better tithe." I haven't tithed in 20 years, and I'm not living on the street. I haven't tithed. I haven't sowed a seed. You know, it was really hard for me to break that habit when I was trying to stop the whole seed faith mentality, to get that stuff out of my head. It was hard to get that out of my head, that when I would give something, immediately you would think to yourself, oh, I'm sowing this, and so I'll get a return. So you have to, it takes time to even get that stuff out of your head, where you can become a cheerful giver. And you become a godly giver that just gives for the joy of making somebody else happy. And even you feel happy when you give to somebody, especially when you give anonymously. You really feel happy because they don't even know it was you, which we're supposed to give our alms in secret anyway. We're not supposed to brag like Gloria. Oh, we gave $20 million. Oh, please stop it. Yeah, okay, if you got it honestly, but through hard work, which I know that they do some kind of work, but most of their work is around this whole prosperity message, which is not true. And so I'm going to do a couple more programs probably in the future on this mind science thing. There's so much I wanted to get more audio actually from Kenneth Hagin. He was a big purveyor of the mind science religion with his positive confession and that kind of thing. But she forgets to mention, and so does George Pearson, that you have to work. You can say all the you can make all the confessions you want, but and of course somebody could give you some money. I'm not saying that you can't get a miracle somewhere. But basically, you have to do what you have to do to make sure you're provided for and your family's provided for. Don't be looking for other people. It's like the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. We can't go looking to other people to solve our problems. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord and get up every day, live our lives, seek first the kingdom, and all the other things will be added unto us. That's what the Bible says. Don't covet other man's goods and be looking to other people to solve our problems. We look to the Lord. We know we can trust him. We know that we can definitely trust God. I know God is my father. I know he's my father. I know he loves me. I know he's going to take care of me. I know that without a doubt. I'm not looking for anybody else to do it. I'm only looking to God to do it. And he can do it for us. He can help us. He is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Thank you, everybody, for coming by today, for listening. And everybody in the chat room, thanks for stopping by. All my listeners on Rapture Ready Radio 2. Don't forget my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? I also document some of the history in there of this new thought philosophy. But remember, the most important thing is today, are you born again? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and asked him to forgive you of your sins? The third chapter of John says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus said, you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you're born again. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's a decision you have to make. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask Jesus to come into your life today and to change your life, to give you a brand new life. And he can do it. He can give you joy and peace and all the things that money can't buy. Money can't buy peace. Money can't buy joy. Money can't buy love. But God can give you all those things. And he gives us all things freely. God bless you, and thank you for coming by, okay? God bless you all.
gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.